right, welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am Andrew McPeak, your co-host, and I'm very interested in this topic that we're talking about today, Tim. We're talking about books. And you've read a book before, right?
I have.
You might have written a book before. I don't know. But we're talking about books specifically for young adults.
Absolutely, yeah. I think this topic isn't covered as much as it ought to be. We all assume young people don't read anymore, and they are reading less. They're watching more, but reading less. But I still believe books have a fundamental role, and we have a list, as you well know, of books that we highly recommend the emerging generation reads, particularly if they want to think leadership.
Yes, and obviously we believe leadership books are really important, but the reason we believe that is because we've read some of these things. They've affected us, and I know you've read books before that have affected you.
Absolutely. During my college years, there was a pivotal moment my freshman year when Mike, one of my friends, it was a couple years older than me, so I really respected him. He said, "You got to read this book." It was Zig Ziglar's See You at the Top, which was if you don't know, there's a motivational book that is really about a good positive thinking and good habits. But I mean, it absolutely shaped my life. Now, Zig didn't write that book for an 18, 19-year-old.
Yeah, but it was probably pretty innovative in terms of helping you think in a different way.
It was so memorable, and I still remember to this day certain quotes and certain stories that I've not only remembered, but I've told and shared. And yeah, it was just pivotal. Mm. But talk about you. You're a millennial.
Yes.
I've heard.
You've heard that before,
But you've read books.
I have read books, yeah, despite what people might think.
I shouldn't say, but you've read books. And you've read a book.
Yeah. No, I mean, one of the ones that came to mind as we were just talking is How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah.
I was actually assigned that as reading for a speech class.
Yeah.
And I think up to that point in my kind of young leader development, I sort of thought of leaders as people who know things, right? And all of a sudden, this book sort of transformed me into thinking, no, a leader is as much about your charisma towards other people, how you treat other people, how you connect with other people, as it is about the knowledge you have in your head. And I think that's proven true time and again.
I think that book was one of the first books that I read, too, that taught me leadership is earned. It's not a title you're given.
Yes.
It's something that's earned through relationship.
Yeah, you could be the richest or the smartest person in the world, but you still have to earn people's trust.
Yeah. And I recommended that book to my kids. So it's kind of one of those classics that you just want to recommend each generation reads.
Well, this is why we think this topic is so important for the next generation. And a lot of times, I mean, even the books we just mentioned, those books were not written for the next generation.
Yeah.
They were written for adults. And that happens a lot.
It does. And that's really the reason we started Growing Leaders. You know this, Andrew.
Yeah.
You joined a little bit later, but you've been such a key role. We believe that we've got to do what so many companies have done for the grown-up, for the 45 or 50-year-old leader that's a C-suite executive or a manager or a principal of a school. We felt like, what if we did this for the next generation? Mm. So the words we've loved to use are, instead of repairing, how about preparing? Mm. You know, so a lot of books are written to repair what needs fixed in an adult, whether it's a marriage or a company or whatever. We thought, what if we built a fence at the top of the cliff rather than a hospital at the bottom?
Mm.
I love that phrase.
I do too.
And it's so, these books, if we could get them into the hands of the next generation, maybe they avoid some of the mistakes that my generation, I'll just be honest, made. And maybe they're so ready when they turn 25, 30, 35 years old.
And we're, of course, not saying that read a book and it'll solve every problem that you have.
Yeah.
But I think it's the mindset of saying we're not just going to wait until it feels necessary.
Yeah.
Because by that time, it might be too late.
Yeah. You know? In fact, you're triggering something. I remember, you know, I worked for John Maxwell for many, many years.
Yeah.
All the while I was writing for John, doing events with John, and helping form the curriculum and everything else, I kept thinking, what if we got this to an 18-year-old or a 15-year-old or a 25-year-old? And John was always more targeted at the full-fledged executive or leader. So Growing Leaders was birthed out of my work with him and thinking, what if we could do the same
thing? That was the idea in your mind that sort of triggered the whole thing.
That's
It's appropriate then that we're coming back to this conversation. And I know you have read many books over the years, but when we started talking about this, it really came down to, if there were seven books that you would suggest that somebody from the next generation reads it as they're developing as a young leader, developing the habits and attitudes of a young leader, what would those things be? So I'm really excited about talking about
that.
Well,
let's jump in.
Okay.
Let me give one concession, and I'm just going to make it to you, but hopefully people are listening in right
now. Yes, of course.
This list could change every year. There's so many great things coming out, great content.
Yeah.
But for right now, I think this is a very, very good list.
Okay.
The first one, actually, that I recommend to students, if they want to read on leadership, is a book called Leadership and Self-Deception. It's kind of one of those hidden jewels. It's not as popular as a Stephen Covey book or John Maxwell book, but Leadership and Self-Deception really talks about how we live so much of our lives for ourselves.
Mm.
And really, it's about selfishness. And I hate to say it that way, but it is. So, but reading this book, it's written by a group of psychologists, the Arbinger Institute. But Leadership and Self-Deception is something we have all of our interns read. I recommend it to students.
Yeah.
And it's a book that starts the internal journey of a leader about my character and my humility and my self-awareness.
Yeah.
And how selfish I tend to be. Every time I read that book, and I read it new every year, I always think, I am such a selfish person.
Yeah.
But it gets me out of that selfishness.
Well, it reminds me, we say this all the time, you have to lead yourself before you can lead anybody else. And that's probably going to be a common theme for a lot of the books on this list, helping a young person think about how they lead themselves before they ever get challenged with, here are the seven skills you're going to need to connect with other people. Even those things are really important, but I do think this is so essential. It's one of the reasons why we do have every one of our interns say, hey, while you're here, you may not learn everything, but we want you to learn about this.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Great one. All right, what's number two?
Good. The second book is a classic. I'm sure most people listening have read this book, but it's Stephen Covey's book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People.
Mm.
I was just at BYU recently, and I was reminded of how much Covey's influence still prevails.
Yes.
Covey, when he did that book, and I read it when it first came out, so this was almost 30 years ago.
Wow.
This book was about seven items that anybody, not just leaders, anybody could practice.
Yeah.
Seek first to understand before being understood. Oh my gosh, that's so key to leadership.
Yes.
So it wasn't just a leadership book, but boy, it's how leaders think.
Yes, and I love that, and that's why we have so much respect for him, is he breaks it down into simplicity. And really, it might have been some of the first people that helped us think about leadership, not just as something for people in positions, but as something that was really about influence, and anybody could do it.
Absolutely.
Which is something we talk about all the time. So.
No doubt about it. Yeah. So if you're not familiar with the book, goal setting, attitude, habits, it's just, it's fundamentals.
It's great.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So I have a third book.
Okay.
This book is more recent than the other two. It's a book by Dan Pink. You know, I love Dan Pink. We just had him speak last year.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Yeah.
I love him.
But Dan Pink did a book called Drive. It may or may not be his best book, but I recommend it for young leaders because in the book Drive, he talks about the secrets behind motivation.
Mm.
What really gets you going? And he talks about autonomy, the feeling of, I got to do this, and it was me that did it. It was not by myself, but I got to engineer how this got done.
Yeah.
Mastery, I feel like I'm getting better and better and better at this thing I'm doing.
Love it.
And then purpose. This is very meaningful. I'm not making widgets on an assembly line. I'm doing something that moves the needle and changes the world.
Love that.
I think it's spot on, and I just love, in fact, that's another book we have our interns read. It's just fabulous.
I love that internal motivation, self-discovery, which is another key thing that we talk about. So there's a lot of meat there.
No doubt about it. Yeah. And Dan just does a great job. When we were talking last June, I used our word pracademic.
Yes.
You know, it's one of our watchwords. We want to be practical and yet very research-based. He says, I love that word. I will write that down. But it's true. That's how he is. He's very research-based, but here's four things you can do.
Yes, which makes you feel like he said something important, but I also know what I need to do with it,
exactly.
Which is not always true of every book you read.
It's usually one or the other.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
All right, what's the next one?
All right, here's another one. I love the book Emotional Intelligence 2.0.
Mm.
Now, much is being said today about emotional intelligence. Daniel Goleman put it on the map. Actually, he didn't invent emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
It's about 100 years old in terms of a terminology. But in 1995, he wrote a book called Emotional Intelligence and then Primal Leadership.
Mm-hmm.
But this book by Travis Bradbury and Gene Greaves, Emotional Intelligence 2.0, is a book that not only explains what EQ is and how EQ might be more important than IQ, but here are practical things you can do to build each of the elements of EQ.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. And that's what we see time and again, that the emotional intelligence, the emotional skills, often called social and emotional learning, is on the decline, right?
Yeah.
So this is going to be one of those things that helps a lot of young people. It may be just what the doctor ordered for a lot of young people out there.
And let me just volley back real quick.
Yeah.
This book is not just for young adults like the others, but why it's so important is what you just said. If they're on a screen, they're probably not building emotional intelligence. They're learning other things, but this is going to have to be taught face-to-face. I think at least right now, I think this is true.
Yeah.
And that's why the book is so important.
And if you're leading a young adult and you've been the one that's saying, hey, lower your screen time, lower your screen time. Yeah. This could be that other voice that says,
that's right.
This is why this is so important.
Now
so.
They may say, can I get the ebook?
Yes, you know, exactly. Or the audiobook. Or
yeah,
whatever
exactly.
It is.
Yeah. So good. All right. Another book that I recommend is from my longtime mentor, John Maxwell. He's written so many books. I think he burps out a book every day.
It's crazy. That way,
I mean that in all due respect, John.
But
I love the book he did called Five Levels of Leadership.
Mm.
Now, I remember being a part of a team that first discussed this in the 1980s, and we were talking about the five levels. But here's what this book does. If a young adult read this book, even more than a midlife adult, they would begin to understand that leadership is earned, that you don't just get it with a badge. But it does say in the book there's five steps on the staircase, and each one takes you deeper as you go higher.
Interesting.
So the first, often the first way you lead people is when you do get a position. But then, so people follow because they have to. But then it's permission. Now they follow because they want to. You've earned the right. You build a relationship. Then it's production. They follow you because of what you've done for the organization or the team. That's Michael Jordan, you know, that sort of thing.
I love that.
So anyway, it takes you up the five steps. It's not hard to understand. John writes very simply. In fact, some people call, it's just pop stuff. Yeah, but it's true.
Yeah.
It's so true. So five levels is just paramount, I think, for a student to read.
For in particular, thinking about a student, why do you think it is like, I mean, I think he's written 60, 70 books. I don't know.
Or 80 or 90.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Again, you like you said, there's some one coming out all the time.
Yeah.
What do you think it is that makes that one sort of rise above the rest in terms of helping a student?
I think because it explains leadership at any level. Mm. If you're a beginner, you're on step one.
So they can get something from it, basically, no matter where they are.
Yeah. In fact, the final step on the staircase is really about personhood, or he just talks about you've just left so much value behind. People are just taking notes all the time. Mm. Not because you're famous, but because you add so much value.
Yeah.
And that's what we all want to get. You could be, I don't know, a grandfather or grandmother at 78 years old, not famous, but yet you've added so much value and wisdom to the lives of others. You're just at a different level, and they want to write it down. John Wooden, Corey Ten Boom, Pat Summitt, you know, those kinds of people are at that fifth level.
I love it. I love it. All right, next one.
All right. This next one is more about communication, but I love it if when young people get a hold of it. Mm. It's a book called Made to Stick by Chip and Dan Heath. Mm. They're brothers. One's at Stanford, one's at Duke.
Oh, cool.
So they're quite smart men.
Yeah, they're all right. They're doing okay.
They're doing okay. Yeah. And I don't mean Stanford Junior College either. I mean Stanford University.
You're talking about the real deal.
That's right. Absolutely. Now there may be a Stanford Junior College.
There probably
we're going to get
somewhere.
An email now.
They're going to call us. Yeah.
Made to Stick is a great book about how to make your communication memorable and sticky.
Mm.
And of course, when I read the book, I loved it because we try to practice so many of the
principles. Yeah, we talk about that all the time,
Yeah, but they really get into what makes something really, and some of it's simplicity. We're in a day where we're so educated, we almost take pride in making something complex or even complicated.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what gets through.
Yeah.
So even if you learned a lot about this, share it at a way that anybody could get it.
There's a lot. I think there's a lot of assumptions you make as a young person about what is going to get heard, you know? Or you think, just because I did the work, so people should listen to me. So I think that will really help a young person.
Well, the common dilemma we have is a great leader that can't communicate, a great coach, athletic coach, that's not able to communicate to the team. I don't care how much you know. If you can't communicate in a way that people get it, it sticks, they understand it, they can communicate it themselves. That's where leadership begins to really take off, I think.
Great.
So,
okay, so we've been through six. What is the last one?
The last one is may sound funny, but we made it last because it's one of the books that we have we've created, and we so believe in what it does. And it was a book originally written for the young leader. It's habitudes, images that form leadership habits and attitudes. And Andrew, I know that many of our listeners may have heard us and they're going, well, of course you'd recommend that.
Yeah.
Here's what I tried to do when I created the very first Habitude book over a decade ago. I thought, here's all the stuff that Zig Ziglar, Dale Carnegie, John Maxwell, Stephen Covey has written, but a kid may not pick up that book.
Exactly.
Habitudes contains timeless universal principles, but as you know, we try to communicate in a way that's sticky because it's an image, it's a conversation, it's an experience.
Yes.
So even if they don't like reading, you know, each chapter is 3 or 4 pages long.
Yeah, it's super
short.
And
it's interactive. We try to make it epic. But I just believe if someone's listening right now and they're going, I don't think my kids will read any of that, those other books, this might be something. It's short and simple, but it contains the very truths we've been talking about that we think a new generation has to get.
Yeah. And this really, I mean, like you said, it might sound funny us talking about something that we have, but it's your and I's heart at the same time. Like, I remember being in an airport, I think it was about a year ago, and I started talking to this lady, and she asked me what I did, and I was talking about growing leaders, and she said, my son needs that. He's in eighth grade right now, and she starts talking about all the things he's struggling with, and I was like, I have a Habitudes book on me. Can I give this to you? I would love for you to talk about it over dinner. And she said, that's so great. You know? So it's like, we don't give this out. We don't talk about it because we're tooting our own horn. Like it's because we really believe it's a great tool for adults and their students or their kids to connect. So.
Absolutely. And I would be the first to admit, we didn't make up these principles. These are timeless. They were taught centuries ago.
Yeah.
We feel like we found a fresh way to say it. Andrew, recently I was in front of about 1,200 high school students, and a really cool experience happened. This student comes up, and you know, they all probably didn't come into the room, the auditorium, thinking like, I am the next Stephen Covey, you know, I'm a leader. This student came up so hungry. It actually was 2 students, a boy and a girl, but they had brought up a Habitude book that had been not only dog-eared, but they put little tabs on each of the chapters of their favorite parts, their favorite principles, and their favorite stories. And then, of course, they wanted me to sign it. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I wish I could do more than this for
you. I love that. Yeah. I love that. How old were they, probably?
Oh, gosh, 16, 17 years old. And you know what? I'll now remember a kid named Matt. This was a few years ago, who came to volunteer with us from Atlanta. He was moving from high school to college. And I said, what are you going to take with you? He said, I love this. He said, I'm taking 5 books, the 4 Habitude books and my Bible. That's what he's taking with him to college. And we only had 4 at the time.
Yeah,
now we've
got
9. But anyway, I just thought, oh my gosh, bless your heart.
Yeah, we could work with that.
But there are hungry students.
Yes.
And we're going after the hungry students and trying to create hungry students along the way.
I love that. And I know the listeners are too. We would love for you to pick one of these books and share it with the students in your life, whether it's your kids or maybe you're a teacher or a leader in some capacity, really, really encourage them. Tim and I have stories of success because somebody said, you should read this book.
Yeah.
You should invest in this.
That's
you
right.
should learn about this. And if you make the choice to do that with the students you lead, I think it'll make all the difference in the world. We would love for you to use Habitudes because we believe that's a tool that we created because it can create that connection. We'd love for you to check out Habitudes. If you haven't ever experienced it before, please, 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 go to growingleaders.com and check out the Habitudes resource. Like Tim said, we now have 9 different Habitudes books. They also come in these courses that you can get in Habitudes online. So there's a lot of different ways to utilize and interact with those. But we'd also love to hear from you. I know Tim would actually love for you tweet at him. Yeah. Tell us, what books did you read as a young adult that shaped you? And who was it that told you should read that? Yeah. We'd love to hear those stories. So
absolutely.
Tim, thanks so much for sharing your insights with us. And thank you to you, listener, for investing in the next generation, being a reader, because we think it just makes all the difference in the world. So we'll see you next time. Thanks.